Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Genesis 28 this morning. Going to look at verses 1 through 17. Again, that's Genesis chapter 28, verses 1 through 17. And do pray that as we sang, that that's our true prayer this morning, that we hear the Lord speak through His holy written word. This is the word of the Lord. So I pray that's why we're here this morning, to actually hear Him speak to us and to see Him reveal Himself through this word, and that we may know Him more and that we may worship Him. That's why we're here, to give all the glory to the Lord for who He is and what He's done. So let us turn and hear what He has to say to us this morning. Genesis 28, verse 1. So Isaac called Jacob, blessed him and charged him and said to him, "You shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and from there take to yourself a wife from the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. And may God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may become a company of peoples. May He also give you the blessing of Abraham to you and to your descendants with you, that you may possess the land of your sojournings, which God gave to Abraham." Then Isaac sent Jacob away, and he went to Paddan Aram to Laban, son of Bethuel, the Aramean, the brother of Rebekah, the mother of Jacob and Esau. And now Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Paddan Aram to take to himself a wife from there, and that when he blessed him, he charged him, saying, "You shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan." And that Jacob had obeyed his father and his mother and had gone to Paddan Aram. So Esau saw that the daughters of Canaan displeased his father Isaac. And Isaac went to Ishmael and married, besides the wives that he had, Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebaioth. Then Jacob departed from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he came to a certain place and spent the night there because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of the place and put it under his head and lay down in that place. And he had a dream, and behold, a ladder was set on the earth with its top reaching to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give it to you and to your descendants. Your descendants shall also be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and in your descendants shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." And he was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before You to hear You speak through Your word. Father, so that we might know You more fully, that we might see You more fully, so that we might worship You rightly. Father, we declare with knowledge that You are worthy of all worship and honor and praise and glory. Father, I pray You enlarge our faith this morning, that that might be more full and more true in our hearts, that we have affection for You, that it be poured out before You this morning, together as Your people, as we sing, as You continue to make Your church into this image of Christ. Father, I pray that You would, through the speaking of Your word, reveal today. Speak to our hearts and reveal our hearts to ourselves. Father, for hearts that, if our hearts have gone after another, ever so slightly, or maybe outright, Father, I pray that You would reveal that to us, that You would call us back gently, that You would show us the folly of our ways. Father, I pray for hearts that may be heavy, may be in a time of just hard times. Father, I pray that you would reveal the truth that you are here with us, that you are with your people. You are always there, even though we can't see it. You are here. You will provide. You will act and you will do according to your promises, always. Let this be encouragement to us, Father. Most of all, Father, I pray you reveal Christ. Let us see Jesus. The provision of all this. Father, let us see Him in all His fullness, that Jesus is the actual fulfillment of everything you've ever promised. It's in Him that all these things are true. Help us to see that, and let us again have faith in that, more rich, full faith that we rest in that. We don't strive in our own strength. We don't do things in our own wisdom, that we don't stray in our folly, that we don't become discouraged in the light of such beautiful truth. Oh, help us. We are so weak. Must be by you. I pray you do all these things in the name and authority of your Son, Jesus Christ, this morning. Amen. When I was younger, when I was actually at home with my family, we would take a trip every once in a while. We didn't take a lot, but we took a few. And one of the places we would go to would be the Smoky Mountains. I'm sure many of you are familiar with that. It's a favorite place to go. And on this one particular trip, I don't remember exactly where we were, but I remember we all took this hike up this big hill. And it was a place that many people went. Other people were on the trail. It was a big, wide trail. And it went up a hill. It was steep. I remember that. You know, I was trying my best to get up. And we got to the top, and it was a flat place, and like barren rock, but it was well guarded, so there wasn't any danger of falling off, but it was a very high place, so you could see. And there, I remember seeing all around this lookout place where these things, and you've probably seen them, binoculars, the high-powered binoculars, the things that kind of triangular on a pedestal, and you can move them around and you can see. And I saw these things, and I could see people looking through them, and I knew, you know, I was old enough to go, okay, they can see better through those. I'd never seen these before, but they're looking through those to see. I want to see. So I went to expecting, right, looking through it, expecting to see the trees and the landscape and way off because I knew the purpose. And so I get and I look at them, and guess what I see? Nothing, right? Darkness. And I'm confused, and I'm like, what's up with this? These are supposed to help me see. Did I get the only broken one there is? And I don't know whether I spoke it out loud or just showed my frustration, but it was about that time my father came and said, look, son, he said, you're not going to see anything through this until they're turned on. He said, and it takes money, right? That's what turns them on. And so he either put the quarter in or the 50 cents or whatever it took back in the olden days for those things to work. And he said, he put it in, and he said, now look through it. And I looked through it, and lo and behold, right, I could see far off. I saw what I expected to see, and I could see beautiful trees and beautiful homes and mountain landscapes, and I saw a long way off. So, you know, just a few moments ago, I looked, I saw nothing. But when the power was turned on, I could see everything. And why do I tell that story this morning? Well, I tell that story because while it's not a perfect illustration, it is a good picture of our eyesight. And I'm not talking about our physical eyesight, am I? I'm talking about this thing I call spiritual vision. The ability to be able to see the spiritual realm. And there is a spiritual realm. It's all around us. There are spiritual entities there, the beings that we call angels and demons. And there's all kinds of activity that we do not see, right? And in our passage today, we actually see Jacob given a revelation or ability to see into that spiritual realm. But, you know, this is kind of the rare instance that we see. Most people, whether they're saved or not, don't get that kind of glimpse into the spiritual realm. And I don't know that I want that glimpse, to be honest with you. But the Lord would prepare me if He needed me to see it. He'd be teaching me something, right? Really, the spiritual vision that I speak of is not really to peel back the curtain to see the realities of that spiritual dimension. It's the ability to see the kingdom of God. It's the ability to see God Himself. His purposes and His plans and His will and how that relates to your life. That takes, brothers and sisters, spiritual vision to be able to see that. There are times, aren't there, where we can see that, and there are times when we cannot. We even sang this morning in that song, Speak, O Lord. I don't know if you noticed the line, but I certainly did. And it says this. It says, cause our faith to rise, cause our eyes to see your majestic love and authority. Now, brothers and sisters, we're not asking the Lord to open these eyes right here, are we? We're asking Him to open the eyes of faith, the eyes that allow us to see spiritually speaking. And, you know, as I go to my passage today and I was studying this, I saw a very special spiritual vision. But I saw really this spiritual vision I talk about of being able to see the kingdom of God or not being able to see the kingdom of God in all the characters that are in play today. So this is what I want to do. I want us to go through this, and we're going to look at Isaac because he's here, and then we're going to look at Esau, and then we're going to look at Jacob, and we're going to see what kind of spiritual vision they had, and we're going to see why or why not, and then, of course, we're going to look at how that applies to our own life. So I think you'll see what I mean as I go through here. Spiritual vision. Passage, the first one we're going to look at is Isaac, and he has what I call a refocused spiritual vision in this passage. So look at verses 1 through 5 with me. Again, so Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, you shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your father's mother, and from there take yourself a wife from the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. And may God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, and may you become a company of peoples. May He also give you the blessing of Abraham to you and your descendants with you, that you may possess the land of your sojournings, which God gave to Abraham. Then Isaac sent Jacob away, and he went to Paddan Aram to Laban, son of Bethuel, the Aramean, the brother of Rebekah, the mother of Jacob and Esau. Now, what do we hear? What do we have here in this passage? We have this scene, don't we? Imagine the scene. They're getting ready to send Jacob away, so they probably got the whole family out there, and you see Isaac commanding Jacob to go and to take a wife, not from the land of Canaan, but from his mother's people, Rebekah's people. And then he blesses him and he sends him away. Now, if you remember, the whole reason that this has taken place happened last week. Remember that? Jacob had tricked Isaac into blessing him instead of Esau. Esau got so mad that he had basically stolen a blessing from him that he wanted to kill him. And so Rebekah, his mother, in a desire to save his life, right, said, how can I get Isaac to go along with it? I got to get him out of here. So I know what. I'll remind him that Jacob needs to go take a wife from my people, and he will do this. And he did. And so we saw that last week. And we also saw, didn't we, that even though it was probably made from a motive most of all of wanting to save her son's life, that this really was the Lord's will. That this was the Lord's will, that Jacob take a wife, not from the Canaanites, but from his mother's people. And this is what I want to focus on for just a moment, that this was the Lord's revealed will. We've seen this as we've gone through the book of Genesis, right? It was true with Abraham and with Isaac, and now it's getting passed on down to Jacob. So this was the revealed will of God, and Isaac knew that. That's why his mother was able to convince him of this so quickly. That's why he said, sure. Let's send Jacob away. We do need to do that. And you notice how immediately he did go along this with this. And we also see that I believe Isaac really knew this was the Lord's will in the strength of the command that he gives Jacob here. Do you see that? I mean, there is no indecision here whatsoever. He basically says, Jacob, you shall not take a wife from the women of Canaan, basically. You shall not do this. This is not the Lord's will. The Lord's will is for you and to go and take a wife from your mother's people. This is what you shall do. This is the Lord's will. Now go and do it. Very assured in this command that he gives his son because he knows it's the Lord's will. Now, this is a good thing, isn't it? You see this father leading his family in the way he should in the Lord's will. This is what he should do. This is good for Isaac. But the question I have is, why has it taken so long for Isaac to act on the will of God? Because there's been much delay here, hasn't there, brothers and sisters? We see this. He's been lax in sending his son away. And because he's been lax, there's a danger there. You're putting this promise at risk by not sending him away. He might take a wife from the Canaanites. So Jacob's well over 40 years old. Now, I know it looks like these men seem to get married a little later in life, and I'm not sure why that is. But he's past that age that they were all getting married. Because remember, Esau's already taken two wives, and I don't know how long he's been married, but he got married at 40. Jacob's the same age. They're twins. So he's risking that. And then we've seen he's already let Esau go off and marry two wives. So he's already let that happen. So my question is, why all this time was Isaac lax or not doing what the Lord's will was here? And then all of a sudden there's a fire lit under this man. And he's like, yes, you need to go. This is the Lord's will. Now go and do as I say. Well, I believe the answer lies back in our last passage and what happened to Isaac. You remember, Isaac had been for years letting the desire of his own heart and his love for Esau override the revealed will of God. And he had chosen to bless Esau instead of Jacob, right? And so, listen, Isaac has been in a state for a while of letting the desire of his heart overrule the Lord. This is sin. And so sin had gotten into Esau's life. And brothers and sisters, when this happens, when sin comes into a person's life, it clouds the vision of you spiritually. Now, yes, he willfully chose this. And so his vision's automatically clouded in this one area. But when you allow sin in any one area, guess what? You begin to not be able to see the Lord's will in any area of your life, really. Everything starts to become fuzzy. As some of the old fathers in the faith said, sin darkens the mind. Did you know that? When you allow sin into your heart, you can't think straightly. You don't see straightly when it comes to the will of God. And so Isaac was fuzzy here, and he didn't have what it taken the spiritual vision to do what he needed to do. Until what? Until last week when it was revealed to him suddenly that he was disobedient to the will of the Lord, and now he repents from that, and he immediately submits to the Lord's will. Said, no, yeah, you're right. Jacob is the one that needs to be blessed, and I'm going to submit myself to that. And now that he's repented of that sin and is gone, now all of a sudden Isaac starts to see clearly. And now he's like, yes, son, this is the will of the Lord. You know, your mother's right. You need to go. Now go now. So you see a refocused spiritual vision. Why? Sin has been taken out of the way. That thing that clouds our vision. We can't see rightly. You know, when this happens, brothers and sisters, you start wandering. And you see people wandering. And you see it in their own. You see it when it's going on. You wonder, what's going on with them? Can't they see that? The truth is, they can't. There's probably sin in the way. We also see this refocused vision in verses 3 and 4. Don't miss that. Notice what he does. He blesses Jacob now. Now before, he blessed Jacob, but why? He had to be tricked to do it. You remember that? But now it's his own will to bless Jacob. Why? Because he knows it's the Lord's will. And notice, too, the difference in the blessing. How much more full, how much more rich, how much more specific is this blessing on Jacob's life now? You know, before he was talking about blessing him with the wine and corn of the earth and the grain, you know, and making sure he's got lots of food and he will rule over people. And it's a good blessing and it's a full blessing, but not like this. Now, it's very specific. And what is this blessing? It's the same blessing, the covenant blessing that God had given to Abraham. He had passed it down to Isaac, and now it's being passed down to Jacob. Why? Isaac now sees this clearly. He's not missing this now. Before he couldn't see it. Now he sees it. Now all of these things, he starts to act in his life according to the will of God because now he is now submitted to it and now he sees it. This is why I say it's a refocused spiritual vision. So what do we do with this? I ask the question. We all have to ask, isn't it? How are you seeing right now? How are you seeing the Lord's will in your life? Are you seeing pretty clear right now? I mean, you know, overall, the Lord's will is pretty clear for His people what to do. So are you seeing that? And so because of that, you're seeking to follow the Lord's will because you can see it fairly clearly. Not perfectly, right? He reveals what we need to see in our time. Or has your spiritual vision become cloudy? Are you trying with all your might to see what the Lord's will is, but you just can't? used to be able to. It was there for a while, but now all of a sudden, for some reason, I can't really discern what the Lord's will is, and I don't understand why that is. Is it perhaps, I don't know, right? Only you know, only the Lord knows, but is it perhaps that the vision has become cloudy because you've allowed something into your heart that shouldn't be there? Perhaps you've, by the desire of your heart, you've chosen to ignore the will of the Lord in this one area, so now your heart's, you know, when this happens, it doesn't take some scandalous sin, although that'll do it. It just takes the heart to go after something that it shouldn't. And when it does, you know, start to make provision for it and start to rationalize it. And then before you know it, it's full-blown sin. And you won't even realize it. And you'll become, your mind will become darkened. And all these areas of your life all of a sudden become very hard. I don't understand what the Lord's will is. This is happens when we allow sin in our life. It fuzzies the vision. We can't see as we should. So I pray that if that's the case, that you would at least go to the Lord and say, Lord, is this true? Is this something? Is this why I can't see? I don't know. It's not that true every time. You know, sometimes the Lord just puts us in a place where we can't do anything. We just got to wait on Him, right? Because He'll show us when He shows us, and He wants us just to wait. But sometimes we've allowed things in that causes our vision not to be what it should be. I just can't see. I don't understand. Why is that? And again, you can kind of tell this in people where they're wandering around you going, why don't they do this? It's kind of obvious what the Lord's will is, but they just can't see it. Say at least, ask the Lord. This is one big hindrance to our spiritual vision, and I believe that's what you see with Isaac, and now that he has had that revealed to him by grace, and he's now repented and submitted, now he's seeing way more clearly. It's clear what he should do in his son Jacob's life. No questions. He's very sure about it. Send him on his way. That's the refocus spiritual vision. Next, let's look at Esau. What do we see here? Well, here we see a complete lack of spiritual vision. Esau's always the example to us, isn't he, brothers and sisters, of what it looks like not to have faith at all. And that's very clear to us in Scriptures that this is the case of this man. But if you look at verses 6 and 9, what do we see? 6 through 9. What do we see this? Esau is watching Isaac bless his brother Jacob. Now, he could be right there amongst them, close to him, right? I don't know. He could be, had so much hatred in his heart, he just couldn't stand to be in the presence, and he's watching from afar. Either way, he's there, he sees it. And what's his takeaway from what happens? He goes, my dad's not happy with my Canaanite wives. Now, in this, Esau got it right, right? His father, Isaac, was not happy with his Canaanite wives. But it would literally take a blind man not to see that, because Isaac basically spells it out and says, you shall not take wives from here. That's not right. That's not the Lord's will. You go here and take a wife. This is the Lord's will. So it'd be hard to miss that. Isaac got that. But here's where we see the problem with Esau and the lack of spiritual vision. It's in his attempt to fix the problem. And in his attempt, probably more than anything, to curry back his father's favor. Right? What does he do? Well, at first he compounds the problem. He's already got multiple wives, and what's his solution? I'm going to take another wife. Here's a side note. When you've gotten yourself into a fix because of sin, the solution to it is never to go against God's will in some other area and sin. And people do it all the time. I've got myself in a fix. What have I got? Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll do this. Well, that's not the Lord's will, but well, maybe it is. And we deceive ourselves into telling us this is the Lord's will. It's never the solution. Trust God where you're at and follow His word. Esau doesn't do that. I'll go take me another wife. But that's not even the big problem. The big issue with Esau is the wife he goes and chooses. He shows that he doesn't get it. Why? He took a wife from the daughters of Ishmael. Now, you can see what he's thinking. He's like, okay, dad's unhappy. He wants me to take a wife from his people. I know what I'll do. I'll go over here to old Uncle Ishmael's house, and he's got daughters, and they're not nearly as far away as mom's family. That'll be easier. And I'll go take one of them, and dad'll be happy. That's for my family. But what's the problem with that? Ishmael's not of the blessed people of God. God's made that clear. He's the cast out. God has said very clearly, Ishmael shall not inherit the blessing, only Isaac and through his descendants. And so Esau, what is he showing? He does not have the spiritual vision to see the purpose of all of this. And that's why he misses the mark. See, the purpose is God desires for his people to take a spouse from his people. But Esau didn't see that. He sought to fix the problem in his own flesh, and through that, he shows that he didn't get it at all. He just looked around and said, okay, who's the closest one to me that I can, oh, you'll do, you're Ishmael's daughter, let me pick you. And so, this is folly. It's ill-conceived and ill-judged. But brothers and sisters, is this not the way it is with any work of the flesh of natural man? Is it not ill-conceived? Is it not ill-judged? Is it not just a stab at trying to fix the problem in our own power and our own strength and not really seeing the true will of God and the kingdom of God and the purposes for all these things? I mean, is this not why all of our works before the Lord are filthy rags, at least one of the reasons? Because we're just doing things in our own strength and our own way, and they really, we're showing we don't even understand the purposes by which things ought to be done. And this is what Esau does. Excuse me. We all know, have we not witnessed this? Did we not witness this play out all the time? I mean, how many of you know people that it is obvious there's all this horrible yuck and pain and stuff in their life, and they've brought a lot of it on because of just sheer sin? They're in a hard place, right? And you can go to them and say, you know, do you see where you are? And the truth is that what do you need? You need the Lord, right? You need Christ. This is what you need. And here's the reaction. You know, I know you're right. I tell you what, I know. I've got to get myself straight. I've got to clean myself up. And once I get things straight, right, then I'll go and follow the Lord. Do you see? Ill-conceived, ill-judged works of the flesh, because you don't even see what's going on. And you think to yourself, oh my goodness, right? How can they not see this? Do they really not see it? And the truth is, no, they don't. Because they can't see it, right? Unless the Lord comes and gives vision and turns the power on, you can't see it. Did not Jesus say, verily, verily, I say unto you, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God? This is literal. Unless you're born again of God and quickened of spirit and given spiritual vision and had the power turned on, so to speak, you don't get it. And that's Esau. He couldn't get this. He just knew his dad was upset, so he worked in the flesh. That's all he ever had. So complete lack of spiritual vision. So if you know people like this, what's the answer? Go to the Lord. Ask Him, right, to turn on the vision. Lord, you've got to give life. There's obviously no life here. Do you speak the truth? Yes, God works through the speaking of His Word, but you and how you speak it, sir, there's not going to be the determining factor. It's the Lord. Is He going to turn on their spiritual vision or not? And we must trust that and pray. If there's somebody in your life that you know like this, like they just don't get it. Why don't they get it? Lord, you got to turn it on. You've got to put the power. You've got to put the quarters in, so to speak, right? Man can't see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. This is the truth. This is the truth from Jesus Himself. Right? You know, Nicodemus said, Jesus, we can tell you're from God because of the works you do. And no man can do what you do unless you're from God. And Jesus said, you know, no man can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. He's telling Nicodemus, right? You're seeing rightly, but you can't see that unless you're born again. And then Nicodemus gets all confused. This is the truth. Can't see unless you're born again, unless God gives a spiritual vision. We just go about it all the wrong way, like Esau does. That's two. Now let's go to Jacob. What kind of vision does he have? Well, yeah, I'm just going to call this simply God-given spiritual vision. And I say that because God literally gives Jacob spiritual vision, right? We see this in the special dream, special vision that he gives him. And what is it? Well, it's in our context, by the way, is verses 10 to 17, right? You know this, but Here's the vision. Jacob sees a ladder. He sees heaven opened up. And a ladder stretches from heaven to the earth. And then on this ladder are angels ascending and descending upon this ladder. And then he speaks, God speaks from the top of this ladder from heaven to Jacob, and he tells him some things. Now, this is an astounding and amazing spiritual vision that God would allow him to see into the spiritual realm in this way. But don't miss this. The important part is not the vision itself. The important part is the truth that God's revealing to him through the vision. See, God is speaking to Jacob here very specifically. And what does he want him to know? One, he wants Jacob to know that, Jacob, you're mine. And no matter where you are right now, I am with you. And no matter where you go or what you do, I'm going to provide for you. And most importantly, you are in a covenant relationship with me. You have received the same covenant blessing as your grandfather Abraham did and your father Isaac did. This is are the truths that he's revealing to Jacob. Now, don't miss the timing here. Why here? Why now? Well, God's timing's perfect, right? But Jacob's in a pretty bad spot. Imagine yourself. He's really on the run from his brother. He's been separated from his family for a long time. Doesn't look good. Probably afraid. And he's out amongst the wilderness by himself. And God comes at this point and says, Jacob, I know it doesn't look like it right now, but I'm here with you right now. And the truth that Jacob didn't know God was with him is in two evidences. One, Jacob really didn't understand that God had blessed him and that it was his no matter what, because you see that in his striving to obtain it on his own. And then two, he declares it with his own mouth. Surely God is in this place and I did not know it. Now, how many times have we said the same thing in our darkest times and hard times, wherever? You know, I mean, we're not going to say that, I didn't know God was there, but how many times has God showed up and he's shown us by his grace and his provision that he really is with us, and we're almost taken aback and go, whoa, God really is there. See, this is what God's telling Jacob, right? I'm with you, Jacob. I've got you all. And the source of all this is me. It's coming from heaven, right? The provision is there. That's represented by the angels. They're going up and down. This is the Lord sending his provision via his ministering spirits to his people upon the earth. And then descending and ascending. That's the picture. And then he declares it to him. Jacob, I'm with you wherever you go. I'm there. Trust me. And I'm going to do all these things for you. I'm the source of this. Trust me. Trust me. I've got you. Brothers, sisters, this is by grace that God comes to Jacob. First of all, did Jacob deserve this? Now, Jacob was a conniver. He was a liar. And he was a deceiver. And now he's on the run. He didn't deserve this, but God comes anyway. Secondly, Jacob wasn't looking for the Lord. Not really. He's on the run. On the run from his brother. Not really looking for the Lord. He didn't even know he was there. He's asleep. I know he's not looking for anything at this point in time. So Jacob's not looking for the Lord, but the Lord's the one looking for Jacob. And so by grace, he reveals these things to him. But isn't this who God is? Is not God a God of grace who reveals these exact same things to us, his people? Exactly in his perfect timing. Has God, by his grace, not revealed to you the same truths that are revealed in this vision, that God is with you and that he is with you no matter where you are or where you go? Has he not revealed that he is your provision? I from heaven will provide for you, whether it's by ministering spirits, however he decides to do it, right? He's providing for us. And most importantly, we are in a covenant relationship with the Lord because he has said so. And he has promised that we are his covenant child. Are these not things by grace that he wants us to see as well through our spiritual vision? You know, he may not give us this crazy, amazing, spiritual, literal spiritual vision of being able to see into heaven. But he allows us to see the truth of these things. And I believe he wants us to see the truth of these things even more fully than Jacob did. Because has he not revealed even more to you? Has he not revealed the truths that I just spoke, that he spoke to Jacob, the same truths that he wants us to know? Has he not already revealed them to you by grace in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it not the work of the Lord Jesus Christ that brings about all these things? Right? There's this ladder from heaven to earth. This is the means by which a holy God can actually bless a sinful people on the earth. This is the means by which He sends His provision. There's got to be this ladder. There's got to be this connection. Brothers and sisters, is this connection not the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and the work that He did, taking away your sins so that this holy God can bless you and this holy God can be with you and that you in turn can ascend back up that ladder and you can dwell with the Lord, with the Lord Himself? It is the Lord Jesus Christ who is the fulfillment of all these things that this vision tells us. In this, and if you know and see the beauty of the gospel and the Lord Jesus Christ, then you have seen what Jacob has seen. And the question is, do you trust it? Jesus Himself spoke to this. I don't think I'm crazy. John chapter 1, at the end of it. Do you know that story? Nathanael is under the fig tree, and Philip has seen Jesus, and he wants to take Nathanael, his buddy, to Jesus, and he goes and he gets Nathanael, and he brings him to Christ. And as Nathanael's coming, Jesus said, I saw you, Nathanael, underneath the fig tree before Philip even got to you. And Nathanael said, behold, you really are the Christ, the Messiah. Do you remember that? And Jesus said, are you telling me you believe that I'm the Messiah just because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? He said, I tell you the truth. You shall see greater things than these. You shall see heaven opened up, and you shall see angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Jesus is the fulfillment of this vision, brothers and sisters. And when you're His, He's going to allow you to see it. He's going to open that up. And the question I have for you this morning is, do you see Jesus as these things? Not you want to be blessed, you believe that God blesses, but you've got to try to make this thing happen on your own, like Jacob did. Or do you rest in this truth? That there is a ladder that reaches from heaven to earth, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ and the work that He did on the cross, taking our sin out of the way so that He can pour out the provision and blessing on you, and that you can in turn come and dwell with the Holy Lord forever, that He is going to go take you wherever you are and bring you into the land that He's promised you. And that is, of course, heaven and dwelling with Him, brothers and sisters, forever into our rest. Is this what you see? Has this been revealed to you? And most importantly, is this what you trust in? Do you rest in the truth that Jesus has you because of what He's done, not because of what you do? Do you trust in the gospel that this is the source of your salvation this morning? I pray that you do, because that is the only way that anyone will make it to heaven. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. Is this what you see? Is this what you trust? I pray so. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, you have done everything. The truth is, you've done it all. You're making yourself a people because you've already done the work to make yourself a people. You have taken our sin out of the way, the biggest obstacle there ever was between a sinful people and a holy God, and you've done that through the work of Christ. This is the provision. Father, do we see that? Do we trust it? I pray you allow us to see it, that you turn the vision on, that we are born again, and that we can see your purposes and your kingdom and your will, and that we now follow it because you've given us that. And you're the source of all these things, Father. I just pray that you make these things so, that if these are so, that we will declare them, and we will live in them until you bring us home. Father, I pray all these things in Jesus' name.